أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أطهر الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Dear respected Sheikh, sisters and brothers, youth and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I actually was here just to listen to the great speakers that were lined up for the conference today, and one of the respected organizers requested me to say a few words on this important occasion when we mark the birth of the blessed daughter of the Prophet, Fatima Zahra. May God's peace and blessings be upon her and upon her family. And also noticing that it is the day of the mother, or the Mother's Day, we can call it, or Women's Day. I also want to extend my congratulations to all the women and all the mothers here today. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives all of the women who are not mothers the ability to become mothers and follow in the footsteps of Lady Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. And those who are mothers to be able to bring up their children, just as Lady Fatima alayhi salam and Lady Khadija alayhi salam brought up their children. And that our children can be beacons and lights of hope and guidance and prosperity for this community from now until the zuhur of our 12th Imam. So what? When the Shaykh was speaking in his talk, and he mentioned an important point which I wanted to further elucidate upon and build upon, he talked about how the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam are the speaking Quran. The book, the Quran that we have within our hands, as we know, doesn't speak to us. We read the verses of the Quran, we read the words of Allah. But we don't really comprehend the true depth of the Quran until we have individuals to actually work upon the implementation of those verses of the Quran. So we can read about fasting in the Quran, or we can read about praying or giving charity in the Quran. But it's not until we actually have individuals who perform those actions that we actually are able to better understand those verses of the Quran. So the Quran talks about aqimus salat, perform the prayers. A question comes from, how do we pray? And obviously then we have to go and ask the Prophet to see the method of the Prophet. How did he pray in order for us to offer our own prayers? So basically what we understand is that the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam go hand in hand. The Quran on its own is incomplete, although the Quran is a sufficient book for you and I today. But without understanding of the Quran becomes an incomplete book. We have to have another source of knowledge, of guidance, to better understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps it's for that reason that when the Prophet explained the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them, the Prophet said that he leaves behind him two things, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, and if we follow both of them, then we would never go astray. So without a doubt, according to the Prophet himself, we have to have a teacher for the book. So the Quran is the book, the Ahlul Bayt are the explainers of the book. Now if we look at the Quran alone again, if we keep the explainers of the Quran aside for a few minutes, if we look in the Quran, we see many different instances, or many different examples that Allah gives, many different phrases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, where if we didn't have a better understanding, we took that verse for face value, we might actually become misled or misguided from the verses of the Quran. And it's possible, because the Quran clearly says in one of the verses that يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَحْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا, that the ayat of the Quran, the verses of the Quran, have the ability to either guide a person to the path of Islam. And we have many people who are known as reverts within our community. We have famous historical people such as Shaheed Malcolm X and other great individuals who read verses of the Quran and came to the teachings of Islam. So the Quran, as it testifies, can guide people. But the same Quran that people come to Islam through can also misguide people. And we have many examples in history. We have the author, for example, of Satanic Verses, who is misguided from Islam through his own issues that he had. But the fact being is that the Quran can either guide or misguide an individual. The fact is that we have to go through the correct source to understand the knowledge of the Quran. As I mentioned, that Allah gives us different examples in the Quran, now it's up to us to better understand them. And without the Ahlul Bayt alayhimussalam being there to help us understand the verses, we are obviously in a dilemma. One example that we have, and this will, and I want to continue on this in relation to Fatima Zahra alayhimussalam, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Bani Israel, about the children of Israel. And we know their history from the Quran, from the Quranic point of view. We know about the many prophets that came to the Bani Israel. We know about how the followers treated these prophets, how they ridiculed them, how they mocked them, how they made fun of them. And ultimately, as the hadith mentioned, and how also the Quran testifies, that many of these prophets were killed by their own followers. But still, even though they were at that level of mocking the prophets and humiliating them, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Bani Israel, and He says, إِنِّي فَضَلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, that indeed I have given you a fadl, an honor, a grace above all other nations. Now, if we were to spark at this verse and think about it and say, well, Allah says in the Quran that He gave the Bani Israel, the Yahud of today, fadl, greatness over all other nations, then we would probably have to question, why are we Muslims? Why do we submit to Allah through the words of the Quran, to the Prophet, through the Ahlul Bayt? Because if Allah is saying that Bani Israel, and as an extension, those who call themselves from the Yahud, from that tradition, if they're being elevated above all other nations, then where does that leave you and I today? But we obviously have to understand, and we have to look at the explanation from the Hadith, from the Prophet, and the Infallibles. And we understand that they were perhaps given that fadl, that greatness, above all other nations in their own particular time frame. And this is how the Imams from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them, how they explain this verse. That yes, they were given a fadl or a greatness above people of all other nations, but it was limited to the time frame that they lived in. The reason why I mention this, and let me go into the just one aspect of the life of Fatima Zahra, may God's peace and blessings be upon her, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talks to Lady Maryam, Mary the mother of Prophet Jesus. And Allah says, when He speaks to her, He says, Ya Maryam. And here's Allah actually addressing, through the angels, addressing her directly. So the angel comes down to Maryam, and the angel says, Ya Maryam, Inna Allah astafahi wa tahharaki wa astafahi ala nisa'il alameen. That, O Mary, indeed Allah has chosen you. And indeed Allah has purified you. And indeed Allah has chosen you above the women of all the worlds. The angel then continues on to say that, Ya Maryam, uqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi warqa'i ma'arraqi'in. That, O Mary, that submit to your Lord, be submissive to your Lord. Warqa'i, go into the state of ruku, into the state of submission to Allah. Wasjudi warqa'i ma'arraqi'in. So basically, to submit yourself to the Creator. When our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, when he was asked about this verse, because again, as we know, the Quran is not limited to time or space. The Quran is continual. It's for eternity. And it's not limited only to the Arabian Peninsula, or to Iraq, or to Iran, or to Afghanistan. It's worldwide, the Quran. When the sixth Imam is asked about this verse, what does Allah mean by this? Why is Allah addressing Mary with this title of being, decided as being the greatest woman of all the worlds? Whereas we know that the Prophet had reportedly said that Fatima Zahra is Sayyidat al-Nisa'il Alameen. So there's a dichotomy, there is a contradiction here, this companion thought. That on one hand, Allah is calling Lady Mary the greatest woman of all of the universe. But on the other hand, the Prophet is using the same term for his beloved daughter. So the Imam explained to the companion, saying that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Mary as or that Allah had chosen her above all of the women of the universe. He says that it was only for her time, the zaman, the period of time that she was living in. However, when Allah, when the Prophet, obviously through the wisdom given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet, as we know, does not speak upon his own desire. As the Quran says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That whatever the Prophet says is basically the words of Allah. He's communicating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know. So the Imam says that when the Prophet said that she is the leader or the mistress of all of the women of the entire universe, he says, مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ إِلَى الْآخِرِينَ, from the first up until the last. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. This verse also brings forth many important points for us, especially when we have discussions with those who don't follow the ideology and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And there's two or three things that we can actually pick from this verse. The first thing is that many people accuse the followers of the Ahlul Bayt of extremism. They said that you have this intense belief, you know, in the wilayat of the imams, and you elevate Lady Fatima Zahra to this great status which they say that she doesn't deserve. She doesn't, even is entitled to within the Quran. And they say that you believe, for example, that she's al-muhaddatha, that the angels speak to her. This is an accusation that people bring upon us. And we can reply with this verse, because the verse says, Ya Maryam. And if you go back in the verse, you see that the angels are talking to Maryam. So, think about this for a second. Here is a woman, Lady Maryam. She's not a prophet, she's not an imam, she's not at any of those levels. But yet she has an angel coming to speak to her from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows us on one level that it's not only prophets that have angels that come to speak to them. That an individual like Maryam alayhi salam can actually reach to a level of purity, that angels will come to speak to her and give her the glad tidings of many different things, of her being, for example, chosen by Allah, of her being purified by Allah, being one who is has a spiritual and also physical purification to her, and how Allah chooses her above all of the women of the universe for her time period. If you relate this back to Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, the daughter of the Prophet, we see that the same thing can hold true, that if we refer to her, or if the Prophet refers to her as al-muhaddatha, that she is one whom the angels speak to, then it shouldn't be any, you know, extreme amazement for us, because she's obviously much greater than Lady Maryam alayhi salam. And all respect to Lady Maryam alayhi salam, because she's obviously a great woman. But at the same time, the final Prophet has a much greater status than all the previous prophets, because we know that all prophets, or not all prophets, are equal. So we learn first off, and we can use this as a point of discussion, that angels don't only speak to men, don't only speak to prophets, they can come to other individuals, they can come to the imams, they can come to women, as they did to Lady Maryam and other women, and then they can come to Lady Fatima, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa sallam. We also see that Allah refers to her and He says, وَتَحَّرَكِ, that Allah has purified you. Commentators have a difference of opinion on what this portion of the verse means. But let me give you the most accepted opinion. And that is that she was one of those women who did not see the monthly cycle of blood. And when the sixth Imam also referred to this, he said that this is the same reason that Fatima Zahra alayhi salam was known as Al-Batul. Al-Batul meaning a woman who does not see the blood at the monthly cycle or after childbirth or any of these other times of the year. So in essence, Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, just like Lady Maryam, they were able to engage in the worship of Allah 365 days a year. They were limited to those times of the month where they weren't able to worship. And we also see that in the life of Maryam, that she was able to be within the sanctuary in the service of the Creator, and to take care of her religious responsibilities throughout the year. As Allah says that He had purified her. Again, we see the same thing with Lady Fatima Zahra alayhi salam with her title Al-Batul. But we also know in the Quran, in the famous verse of purification, from verse 33 of chapter 33, where Allah says that إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ وَرِزَّ أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا.
Allah.
So even in this verse, in the verse of purification, the verse of Tathir, we see that Allah has again purified the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. Another point again that we can use as a status for the life and for the time of Fatima Zahra, salawatullahi wassalamuhu alayha. Salawatullahi And as the verse continues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that after he has purified Maryam, he says, وَاسْتَفَاقِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And again we relate this back to Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, that how did Allah choose her above the women of all the world? Because again there's that, there's a parallel being shown here between Lady Maryam and Lady Fatima, how they both are actually manifestations of this verse of the Quran. As was mentioned again earlier from one of the speakers, when they looked at Hadith al-Kisa, this event of the cloak, where the revelation of 33 comes down, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses her to be the center of attraction in this verse. And not in a negative way obviously, but in a very positive, in a very spiritual manner. Because most times, and especially in the Arabian Peninsula, in pre-Islamic Arabia, and even after the coming of the Messenger, it was still a very patriarchal society. Right? Men were still the head of everything. Men were still the head of the family. They, you know, they did all the jobs outside of the house. And they still had the authority within the house. And many times it would be the man or the male figure of the family would basically be who other people were associated through. So this person is the son of the father. Or this girl is the daughter of this father. She is, for example, the wife of this individual. But here in the event of the cloak, we see that no, the tables are actually turned. And when Angel Jibra'il, who you know we recognize as an angel, as a messenger of the Almighty, one who has knowledge of the unseen, he has this event unfolding in front of his eyes where all these individuals are coming underneath the blanket. And he asks, he asks Allah, who are these people? You know, and you would think that him being an angel, he would know who these individuals are. But yet the answer comes that, you know, this is Fatima wa Abuha wa Ba'luha wa Banuha. This is Fatima, her... And this is her family. So she becomes actually the centerpiece, the mantle of all of the attention within Hadith al-Kisa. Let me end with that and again congratulate the mothers and the sisters who are here today on this auspicious occasion, and all the brothers also who are here today, marking the great birth anniversary of the daughter of the final prophets, who was not only the daughter of the prophet and you know, the guardian of the Risala, which was also the guardian of the Wilayat, the one who safeguarded the Wilayat of her husband, the commander of the faithful Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that first off for our mothers and our sisters, that we can all the women can aspire and work towards being like Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. That they can bring up children as Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were. That they can have children also just as Abu Fadl Abbas, as Zainab al-Kubra, and all these other great women who we respect and who we adore and who we hear about day after day. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the men that we can also be upright role models, and we can also assist our mothers and our sisters and our daughters in the upbringing of our children, just as we see in the life of the commander of the faithful. Salawat upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, please.